Finished the other topics that we were teaching. Let me remind you, if you're free Tuesday morning, we'll have Bible study, and also Tuesday evening we'll be in Gonzales, and the Fontenots will be with us there. And Guya, you will be there, right? And you're leaving town, and you're leaving town. Okay, but we'll have three of these folks with us in Gonzales on Tuesday evening, and then Bible study here at 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. But I have been really seeking a direction, and I ask you, what would you like to study? And you sit there as silent as stones. And yet, if when somebody picks something, well, you're not interested in it. Well, you had your time, you know. You could have said something. Someone suggested Nahum, and I realized that Nahum is not really, well, you could do it, but you need to do Jonah first before you do Nahum. Someone said Zephaniah, and that's good. So what's eating on me, what I want to do, and you may shell out of here like corn falling off the cob. But I have been tremendously interested in a study of attitudes. I want to share this with you before I start. I'm not going to start that right now because I am going to do Jonah, because there is one of the most outstanding attitudes in all of the history of God's people demonstrated in Jonah. And we've got the same thing. Talking about attitudes, I had an experience here, I guess it's maybe 2 or 3 years ago, that blessed me and helped me, and I think it'll bless you and help you if you will let it. I may as well tell you who it is, well, who it's about. I've been very pretty good friends with Stovall Weems for a number of years, but Stovall had been, he's a little bit standoffish. You know, our personalities are not all the same. I had given, Stovall wanted some material on something, covenants or something, and I decided I could give him my book, and I would buy me another book. So I left it on his desk, and I didn't hear from him. So I cornered him. That's a talent that I have. I'm sorry. Ran a school too long, and I saw so much of what Hedda Lou was saying in her experience with her school. Millis and I almost laughed out loud because I said, so guilty, so the same thing. But I said to him, I said, Stovall, get over there against the wall. I'm going to talk to you a minute. So I told him, I said, I was really disappointed that I didn't hear from you. I didn't give you that book to get a big praise and thank you. But I said, it's a part of your character that you should be grateful. And I told him, you know, it was on and on. And I want to tell you what he said, and it was the biggest blessing. And I said, God help me have that same attitude. He said, Miss June, I appreciate you telling me that. He said, I want to tell you this. If there's anything you see in me at any time that you think needs direction or you need to speak to me about, he said, do me a favor and do it. Yeah. And I have often thought how wonderful it would be if you and I had the same attitude. And I'll confess to you, I don't have it yet. But thank God he is still working on us. The little song, I think maybe some of the hemp pills, I don't really know who wrote the thing, but that nice little song, it said it took him just a week to make the moon and the stars and Earth and Jupiter and Mars. But he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. There should be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. And God is really working on us. And I think our attitudes is one of the areas in our lives. Now, an attitude's more than an opinion. We've got lots of opinions. Anyway, I tell you, in fact, we've got so many we can afford to be generous with them. How many of you know that we'll just share that attitude at the drop of a hat? I'll tell you what I think. And sometimes it's so unbecoming to us. But will you stay with me if we look at attitudes? And it's so much more than just what I think and what I like and what I don't like. See, for example, perseverance. You know what that word means? It means keeping on, keeping on. Patience is sometimes translated perseverance in the King James Bible. But that is an attitude. Perseverance, patience is an attitude. The fear of God is an attitude. The love of the brethren is an attitude. Attitudes are lifestyles. And it's a far higher, deeper calling than just my opinion. But this is the greatest need of Christianity is for us to understand and walk in the right attitude toward God, toward each other, toward the Word, toward obedience and everything that keeps us in line. I came across a book, Nine Attitudes That Keep a Christian Going and Growing. And it's really quite good. I haven't gotten too much into it yet. But let's look at the book of Jonah. Would you like that? Because I want to share with you about Jonah's wrong attitude. It is an excellent illustration of a wrong attitude. And a man who needed an attitude adjustment and got it. Strange thing toward the end of Jonah, we can't really tell for sure how much good his experience did him. But still and all, he saw that his attitude was not right. Now the one person, see, we all need an attitude adjustment. And anyone who denies it needs it more than the rest of the people who will admit it. Let me say that to you again. You didn't get that. If any of us deny that we need to have attitude adjustments, then we are the needy one. Did any of your kids or you, anybody ever you try to witness to, did anyone ever say, "Don't preach to me"? Yeah. Yeah. That ever happened to you? Yeah. That is the clearest indication that they need to hear what you have to say to them. Now, you think about it. If a person that says, "Don't preach to me, I don't want to hear about Jesus, don't give me that Jesus stuff," is a clear indication that they're totally ignorant of the gospel and the goodness of God, and they need it more than anybody. So if we deny that we need attitude adjustment, then we are saying that we need it more than anybody else. Let me tell you now just a little bit about attitudes, and then we'll get into Jonah. But our attitudes are an open display of our character. Thank you, Joe. Our attitudes, they confess for us the areas that we need to grow. Our attitudes confess, whether verbally or whatever, our attitudes display the areas in which we need to grow. Far more than what I think about a person or a thing, and it, because attitudes include a position from which growth and change come in our lives. That's where we show where we need to be changed, is in our relationships and our attitudes. Now, look at Jonah. That's just generally attitudes. Jonah's the most unique of the Old Testament prophets, one of the minor prophets. There are 12 of them and 4 major prophets. And the only reason that they're called major and minor is because of the length of what they had to say. In fact, I think maybe that the minor prophets, some of them, maybe even surpassed the major prophets in some of the things that they tell us about the character of God. They're all just wonderful. There's no, and if I, and I wouldn't want to do it because, you know, it's embarrassing, but I would be willing to bet that it's been several months since some of you looked at a minor prophet. It's just not a part of the Old Testament that we look at. Oh, Isaiah, oh, hallelujah, yeah. Ezekiel, yeah, we think about those dry bones. And Jeremiah, we think about that righteous branch. Daniel, we think about the fourth man in the furnace. But you say Zephaniah or Micah, it's just like, you know, it's breaking in on new ground, isn't it? Isn't it? And so we really just don't think much about it. Matthew Henry said this, and anything Matthew Henry says is good. In the middle of obscure prophecies containing many dark sayings that are very hard to understand, and they are, many things puzzling to the learned, even the Bible scholars. There's strong meat for strong men back in those prophecies. But yet, Jonah is the plainest and the funniest and the most revealing and declares the sovereignty of God more than any of the rest of the prophets. Now, you think about what the content of it. And between now and next Sunday, we'll just read all of it. It's not very, very much. It's humorous, entertaining, and we think about old Jonah in the belly of the whale, you know. You've heard that a million times. Let me say this, lest I don't have time. Scoffers. How many of you know that we have scoffers in Bible seminaries? We have scoffers in apostate pulpits. We have scoffers sitting in church pews. And they will scoff at the idea that there's a fish big enough to swallow a man. And that it's just a fairy tale. I pick up books at garage sales and anywhere you see a book, if it doesn't cost more than 25, 30 cents, well, I say, well, you know, I'll get that much good out of it. But I picked up one last night when I lay down that had some material about Jonah in it. And this turkey said that it is not narrative truth, it is a fictitious story. Well, I threw it across the room. And I will get rid of it. I wouldn't even give it, John, to somebody in the police barracks. I wouldn't give anybody anything that said anything in the Bible is not truth. I just trust God to have made it truth. But he says this entertaining, humorous story, Matthew Henry said, it is about a man of God who had an attitude problem. It's about the sovereignty of God in the plainest language. God, who rules the sea, the winds, and all the plants, can make anything he needs for any purpose at any time and use it any way he needs to use it to accomplish anything that he has to accomplish. Now, Matthew Henry said that. That's been a long time ago. But the thing that makes, and this is what I wanted to be sure and tell you, the thing that makes Jonah so wonderful is what we see in the 12th chapter of Matthew. Turn over there very quickly. The 12th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And I could say a lot about this, and some of the things I might want to say might offend some of you, so I'll try to be nice. Matthew chapter 12, and it begins at verse 38. Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered Jesus, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But Jesus answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign. King James Bible says, Seeketh after a sign. Didn't Hedelu break you up with the spirit there, and we'll blow it where it willeth and listeth where it willeth? It was so wonderful. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. See, that says a lot. If I were going to preach that, I wouldn't. If I had 30 church members the first Sunday, I wouldn't have 3 the next. Because I would say, if you want to spend your time looking for signs of Jesus coming, you could very much better spend your time getting your act together. Did you read me? All the sign seeking in the world that you seek after and all the signs that you find will not do one thing to get you ready to leave. And nobody knows the day nor the hour. Jesus said that, didn't he? I have to say this. The first chapter of Acts, you know, Jesus had told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they received power from on high. And they said, Oh, Lord, well, is it this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said, It is not for you to know the things that the Father has in his time schedule. The word epochs is there. And you know that's kind of a big sounding word. And if we come to something that's kind of big sounding, we usually pass over it. And we think, well, another day we'll go look that up, but we don't ever look that up. But that really just means the time frame of the things that God has in His plan, it is not for us to know. Don't worry about the signs. Now, that's not what I wanted to say out of Matthew 12, but I had to say it. Is that all right? But Jesus said to them, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and yet no sign shall be given to that wicked and adulterous generation but the sign of Jonah the prophet. As Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth." And the men of Nineveh, he said, will stand up with this generation at the judgment and can condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and something greater than Jonah is here. Yes. I feel a quickening. As Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh, he said, will stand up with this generation at the judgment and can condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and something greater than Jonah is here.
Yeah.
I feel a quickening. That's what Jonah didn't want to do. And, you know, that was his disobedience. That was his bad attitude. Mm-hmm. He didn't want those Assyrians, those Ninevites saved.
That's right.
They don't belong to the commonwealth of Israel. They've got no right. They're not in the covenant.
Right.
But Jesus said, they repented. And he said, there's somebody greater than Jonah in your midst. And he was addressing the religious folks of his day who would not honor God's word that he had arrived, that the Messiah was there. Then turn over to the 11th chapter of Luke. There's a couple of verses there to the 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel, verse 29 and 30. Verse 29, "And as the crowds were increasing, Jesus began to say, 'This generation is a wicked generation. It seeks for a sign, and yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation.'" Now, what I read all that to say to you, that anybody that would say that this is a fairy story, a fiction story, would be denying that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke the truth of God the Father. That settles it. That settles it. Jonah did spend 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale. It did happen, just as this little prophecy tells us that it did. So they said, you know, well, it really didn't happen. Well, the same bunch is saying Jesus wasn't virgin born, too. And the same bunch is saying there were no miracles and all kinds of manners of unbelief. Jesus made it positive that this was a true, true story. Now, before getting into it, we've already said that Jonah was a man with an attitude problem. Let me tell you what a bad attitude is. I know you won't hear this, don't you? I know you want to hear what I'm going to say. A person with an attitude problem is anyone who sees anything any different from the way God sees it. Isn't that good? If we don't see it like God sees it, we have an attitude problem. Anybody can't accept that? Can you all?
Yeah.
Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he said, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we don't have the mind of Christ and see things as he saw them, you say, "Oh, I can't do that." Well, let me comfort you. Not yet. But he's still working on us. We're still growing. You know, the second epistle of Peter, it closes so sweetly. He warns them about false prophets coming in, you know, and I'm taking them astray. And you know what he says as the antidote to that, as the remedy for that, as the cure for that? He says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father." Both of them are included, I believe, in that verse. but grow in grace. And grace is not just freebie goodness. Grace is the ability to do what God has called us to do so that we can be what He's called us to be. Grow in grace and in knowledge. You know, ignorance can be fixed, but stupid is forever. And any Christian that thinks he knows enough, that he doesn't need instruction, that he doesn't need to change, that he doesn't need to grow, has a bad case of stupid. That's true. That's true. We have to continuously persevere and change. How many of you like that definition? We have an attitude problem if we see things differently from the way Jesus saw them and the way God the Father saw them and the way the Bible predicts them. That's an attitude problem. See, Jonah had tunnel vision. He wasn't schizophrenic. He didn't have two personalities and he wasn't crazy. He had a tunnel vision. You know what tunnel vision is? You can't see anything but just one little view. Just right ahead. See, Jonah's attitude, now this may shock you. Jonah's attitude was like a lot of Christians' attitude who can't see that God is loving and kind and concerned about anybody but those that meet under their roof. Now, that is common among churches. You know, Jonah's, God sent him down there to put a blessing on him and to tell him to repent. That is as ridiculous, was as ridiculous to Jonah as a church going down the street where, you know, somebody's building a bigger one and a finer one and doing more, and you're going down there and say, oh, my brother, may God bless everything that you're doing, and my Lord is going to bless you and all this kind of thing. You wouldn't do it. You'd get jealous. We get jealous, you see. We get rivalry, and we're not in competition. We're in cooperation. See, there's a gospel to be preached. There are people all over. There are people in this town that need somebody to love them. There may be people in your families, people that you know, just need somebody to say, oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I love you. Let me help you. Let me share this with you. Would you like to have this? Would you like to go here? I mean, there is so much good to be shared that we cannot afford to draw a little, see, like Jonah did, a little old circle around us. See, I married into one a long time ago, a denomination that thought I could not possibly know the Lord. Because I was a Methodist. That's right. They really thought that I could not possibly have any amount of Christianity because I didn't belong to their church. I mean, I experienced that. And we cannot, any of us that say we have all of the truth are the biggest liars in the camp. If we have Jesus, we have truth. But God's ways are higher than our ways. And we can never plummet the depths of the unsearchable riches of Christ and say we've got it all. Would you agree with that? Well, Jonah kind of had that attitude. See, any individual or any group, any denomination that says we have it all have less than some of the ones that aren't boasting and bragging. Paul addressed that real nicely. He said in 1 Corinthians 10:11, he said, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall.
That's right.
Now, the two main messages that are contained, and these are both good, you could preach for months on these two main messages in Jonah, and we'll say this and then we'll start, and you read it next, if you can read it all this afternoon, it won't take very long, are two things that we must camp around. One, God is sovereign, and God is Savior. God is sovereign, and God is salvation. And this was the wonderful thing that Jonah confessed from the stomach of the whale. So we'll start next week and take exhausted as much as we can or as much as we want to and see his attitude. And then we'll look at some of our attitudes and go from there. Is that all right?
Yes.
You had your chance, I ask you. If you'd have wanted John's gospel, you should have said so. But nobody would say anything. God bless you.